Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm gonna take you fishing, honey. You're gonna love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I am Captain Kevin Favor, sitting with Captain Scott Shank.
Hello.
And in studio,
in
the Moe's Southwest Grill Studio,
the only,
the only Captain Chip Wingo. Thanks for coming and sitting in with us.
It's my pleasure.
How do you think
guys.
About this studio? Pretty cool.
I like this one.
Yeah,
it's pretty nice. It's not the old card table in the back, is it?
No, it's not. I like this one a lot better, actually.
Yeah.
It's got an amazing chef downstairs.
It
too.
Does straight downstairs.
It smells good too, coming through the coming through
get
the
stuff
AC.
Ordered right
yeah,
up here.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Pretty weather this week. It looks like it's getting ready to change, though.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
You kind of can scratch out one more day tomorrow.
Right. That's right.
Probably till about 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
You're not going to really be able to fish the tides to a certain extent. You're going to have to start.
Tides are what right now?
Low tide is like around noontime.
Okay.
You'll get it, but I'm just saying, it depends on. Because right now, there's a – boy, you guys up there at your properties, you guys are getting some rain.
Huh.
It's been sitting on you.
It's insane.
It's been sitting on y'all for 2 days up there.
2 days? Try
– month.
Well, I'm just telling you, since this
front –
it's
been raining almost a month on and off,
I mean, but that – I mean, all this is supposed to start settling down towards us tomorrow.
Yes.
I don't know. Okay, tomorrow, late day.
So here it is, just real quick. Northeast 10 to 15 tonight. Tomorrow, 15 to 20. Out of the north, which is the worst wind you could possibly have to fish inshore.
Yep.
Thursday night, it's no joke now, north winds 25 to 30. And then on Friday, 25 to 30 with gusts to 40. Holy shit.
Get you a little piece of that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even need to talk about the seas because
it's pretty much self-explanatory.
Yeah. For the weekend, and again, keep in mind it is Wednesday, but this could change. Still going to be nasty. 15 to 20 out of the northeast on Saturday. And then Sunday, east-northeast, 5 to 10, 4 to 6 with occasional 8. And then Monday, it's south winds at 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All next week looks.
Holy cow.
All next week looks like junk.
I mean,
too.
That's not even doable inshore.
Yeah, it looks like I'll be in Georgia a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, because, nothing against it, but, with you being here tonight, we have two different spectrums.
Yes.
We cannot – you can pull that off.
South or north like that, I can't.
No, straight
down the
gut. No, I don't mean – but, 15 to 20, I don't – east, west.
Yeah.
You could deal with it.
I can deal with that.
You can get below what you need, but Kevin and I, we got a big sail. That 8-foot by 6-foot T-top that's on the top of our boat, our trolling motors are working on overtime.
Well, even if it's southeast or northeast, it's fine. But when it blows north or south, it's just straight
it's
down
impossible.
The gut. And it makes it gets scary down towards you guys.
Are you kidding me?
With
from Volano?
Yeah.
To, Caps?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And then from Shell Bluff to Pine Island?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you right now, I've seen it 4 foot in there. And when I say that, it's like, right on top of
one. Oh, yeah, I've had to do it last year on a charter just to get from the airport back to Aunt Kate's. Took 40 minutes, and it was sketchy.
Yeah,
and we were
sketchy.
And I'm in a flats boat, and it was flat out scary to me because the kids were playing and having fun, but to me it wasn't fun.
Bam.
I'm like, sit down, be careful. But
because honestly, you get, I mean, I've stuffed a bow in the Intercoastal in a couple
easily.
Of those days.
Yeah.
You know, because then your next stretch is the inlet to the Bridge Alliance.
How long ago was it that we did that trip with Minyard?
Remember that?
Do you remember that?
That was the most...
And David Borries?
David Borries was
there. Was,
in
there
it?
Was a whole bunch of Captain David Borries for folks who don't
know. It was Charlie Parker.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, folks, this is... I have no idea how hard it was blowing, but it was blowing right out of the north. And it was a typical, maybe a February.
Yeah.
But it was a corporate trip, and they were hell-bent on going.
And we picked up at Aunt Kate's.
We picked them up at Aunt Kate's.
And, dude, the Aunt Kate's dock.
Oh, yeah.
If your boat got hurt by that boat that couple years ago, doing the same thing. When you pulled up to the dock, you didn't tie off because it was, you put the bow into it, held it on, and just told him, you got, come
jump
on, let's
on.
Go,
let's
go.
Go. Yeah.
So Scott and I ran south.
Yep.
Because we figured, look, it was blowing north or northeast hard. And we figured, okay, well, at least if we go that way, we can kind of, you know, with the tide bucking the wind, we're okay with that. Well, anyway, we went down and fished, and I'm just telling you, just absolutely brutal. After 2 hours, literally, like most everybody's done, Scott says, I'm going to go back towards the inlet. And he called me on the phone, and he was at the Bridge Alliance, and he goes, you need to come back now. He's at the Bridge Alliance. He goes, it's 4 to 5 foot in here. I'm like, come on. No, it's not. And it. Thank God we were in bay boats, but we had to wait on David and Charlie because we were worried about them.
Yeah.
Literally.
I mean, I was taking waves when there was, I mean, again, FWC is kind of, you know, weather situations. There was no way that I was coming out of a no wake zone. I can promise you. I had to keep the bow up.
Oh, yeah.
Plugging away.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, because if I didn't, I mean, well, we were all soaked anyhow by the time we got back to the dock. But I'm just telling you, if I had to back it off, dude, they would have been just coming right over the bow the
because
whole time.
That's the thing that people don't understand about the when it gets rough inshore is it's right on top of it. Mm-hmm. It's not, there's no swell.
There's not a spread out
situation. Yeah, I mean, and you could attest to this. I've seen this. I mean, from the Buckner Bridge to the Fullhorn.
Oh, yeah.
That's treacherous on a north wind, you know, or a due south wind if it's bucking the tide.
Yeah, that I've had to run over from Temecula back over across the river to where Hooters is.
Mm-hmm.
And sketchy
to
where you would run at an angle and going away from your destination to get towards the bank to come across because it was 4 or 5 foot in the middle of that. And I grew up over there,
right? I know.
And it's like, you know, and I did it in John boats as a kid, which was stupid, but you know,
I did the same thing. But
thank God for trim tabs though, because like I'm on and off my in those days that it's like that. I mean, leaving out of Comanche Cove, you got a straight north or a northeast right there, and let's just say it's an incoming tide, okay? And it just stacks right there in front of the Lana Bridge.
Yep.
So I tell everybody, you need to get over to the right. I jack the port side, and I'll just put you where you're kind of looking at the water just to try to keep it from splashing, you know?
Right,
and I know
we've all talked about this before, but there's a way of learning how to run the intercoastal when it gets rough. You don't have to run right down the middle.
No. Nope.
You know, even if you have a center console, you know, you don't have to run. There's a break there. You know, obviously the closer you get to the bank. Watch your bottom recorder, obviously, okay? But you could still get in that 4 to 6 feet of water in our boats, and you're not in that really bad stuff, you know. But the guys that just
plow right through the middle of it.
You know, you're just like, you know, and that's just it's a learning curve. But if you get caught in that situation, even if you're like, dude, I don't want to go 30 miles an hour. I want to go 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Just ease over to the side. You know, don't think you have to stay between the red and the green.
Yeah.
You know, watch your bottom recorder. And you could get out of a lot of that stuff. I mean,
that's where it pays.
I learned how to do that with a John boat.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where it pays for us to know when we talk all the time about the low tides.
Yes.
And knowing your areas. Because like that one section up there, I think it's around 38, you can jump behind that sandbar and tuck up against the bank line, and it's 15 feet deep in there.
Exactly.
And run all the way up around that edge instead of being out in the middle.
Except on dead low tide, when we get right there at the end where you start working at the well,
yep.
is what we call the well. Even on high, I mean, I fished it today, and even on high tide, it's not but 3.5 feet of water.
Yeah, so, if you trim up, you can get across.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That one, right in front of Indian Creek is another one.
Because
that one's getting even shallower now.
Yeah, it is. That one.
That one's starting to fill in.
The other day, and it was like 1.8. I was like, yeah.
Hold on, boys.
Playing,
here we go.
Boys. Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break here on the Mo Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And when we come back, I know, Chip, you've had some trips this week, and you did some fly fishing trips, seen a lot of reds. Scott, you fished today. You had a great trip. So we're going to talk about that and see what's bite. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Talk to our boys from Moe's today.
Did ya?
Yeah, we're going
to
do.
Are they finally ready to go fishing?
Yeah, they're ready to go fishing. I know they're opening up a bunch of new stores and stuff, so they've been busy. Patrick's been busy. So it sounds like March and April they're going to do some.
Really?
What is that big burrito they do?
The home record.
Oh my god,
dude, it's freaking.
I go
awesome.
With Leon occasionally, eat that thing, and it's like I need a nap.
Oh yeah,
it's good.
It's so good, but I'm not a guacamole fan, so I do
Chipotle ranch. Mm.
I do the Joey, which just doesn't have the guacamole and stuff because I'm not a guacamole pusher.
You're such a wussy when it comes to food.
I am. I'm pretty that
meat fish.
About my food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a diet do, and you're good.
No, don't drink that anymore. It's Pepsi Zero.
Oh, Pepsi Zero. Okay.
I can't have sugar.
Okay, that's right. Pepsi Zero. Okay. All right. Fishing this week. Yeah, well, you know what? Let's not talk about specifically this week. We will. But all in all, you know, if you compare your notes to this time last year, fishing's way better.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Fishing's way better.
And I mean, just Monday and Wednesday this week. I didn't fish yesterday.
Right.
But, I mean, all the species.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're everything.
I mean, mangoes, maybe not a big one. I caught a...
Did you really catch mangoes?
I caught mangoes at the jetties, and I caught a Spanish mackerel yesterday. Or on Monday. Sure did. Uh-huh.
No kid.
Uh-huh. He's the cutest little... He won 10, 11 inches long.
Bait.
Oh, my God. I thought about a 12-odd hook going through his belly.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, ooh, probably not going to be a good idea to keep that one. But anyhow, yes.
I thought they were 10 inches mackerel. To the fork, weren't they?
12.
12. They changed that a couple
of... Yes.
Tell you how many of them I keep.
Yeah.
It's weird because... I compared my notes to last year, mm-hmm. trying to figure out with some of my regulars. And if the weather's nice right now, you got to go.
Right,
because
exactly.
it's on fire.
Right.
And even high water, you were talking about high water for tomorrow. I found trout, big trout.
Yep.
Only problem is we could see them in 6 to 8 feet of water coming up and swirling on our lures, mm-hmm. and we couldn't get them to hook up. Mm. Throwing, you know, anything from triple. You know, jerk baits, hard plastics,
right.
soft plastics. I mean, they wouldn't stick. It was like they were almost in the spawn mode where they were shooing things away.
Right.
But my client's sitting there going, I can't believe this. And then 3 minutes later, he catches a 10-pound red in the same spot.
Oof.
And I'm like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, I'll agree to you because today I threw poppy corks in the runouts and stuff on that high water this morning. And, you know, okay, it swings out of it. So they're reeling it back in, and all of a sudden, you watch trout swirl, you know, you'd see it. I mean, it was a trout, you know.
But
maybe
with,
not a huge one, but
with that
I mean,
being
it was
said,
a trout.
Also, the yellowmouth are some of the best I've seen
big
in
ones
years.
Too.
Big ones. And they're everywhere, all the way up the valley.
Yep.
All the way from, I mean, way up in the valley towards Jack's Beach, all the way to you guys
That's cool.
down in St. Augustine.
We
and they're big.
Boy, and they're
and
nice,
they,
too.
They
I mean,
fight.
I caught like six of them today, and they were, I mean, they were all day, 16, 17
oh,
inches.
Oh, those were good.
I think Jonathan had one that was like 4 pounds the other day in the valley.
I had one last week that was like that, and he rolled up.
They're,
and
they're short when they get like that. And they're just have
but
big old
bellies.
Big old
yeah.
bellies. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
But they're all full row.
They're hitting artificials. They're hammering artificials too. So you can throw the Miradine. You can throw your soft plastics, everything at them. And all I've been throwing is the fish bites.
Good.
I'm sold on that product. Nope. You know.
Hey, let me ask you something real quick before we can all three. We're all three sitting here eating trout, speckled trout or yellowmouth trout.
If the yellowmouth is in salt water, when I say that, I'm talking from downtown out. Mm-hmm. When they're from downtown towards the Buckman and past, I don't like them. They have that river smelly
mushy,
taste.
Muddy.
It's just got a weird taste to it.
I'll be honest with you. If we went downstairs right now and Carrie said, I cooked a yellow mouth and I just cooked, and we caught them today, and she cooked them the same way, and I don't know that I could tell the difference. I really don't. But I will tell you this. There's, to me, a speckled trout cooked the day of.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't nothing better.
I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I think they're both pretty much identical.
Right.
But like I said, I can tell the difference in those trout. Sure. Even a speck, if a speck's caught up that way, they taste better than the yellowmouth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether it's because the yellowmouth are deeper in the muddy bottom or what.
Well, they are bottom feeders.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say about a trout, but they are. They're basically bottom
feeders. And I'm going to tell you, I think I caught all the three species of trout today. Because I had a few. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. A sand trout is the one that's got, like, it feels like sandpaper, right? He's got scales.
He's a white, that's called a white trout, isn't
it? Yeah,
it's
called a...
Or is it a
sand call sand trout those little perch
things.
No, that's
what we call them, too. We call Well, I mean, I don't know. But whatever the... But anyhow, I had...
It's a weak fish.
It's a weak fish still.
Right.
But, so, like,
there's
a true weak
fish...
There's
six
species. Right. Like, like our true weak fish has like more black dots going down the side, you know,
there's one
more coloration.
Purple.
And that's the ones I caught, and those are the ones I'm talking about with the scales.
Right, right. But
I caught some of them and some of the other ones.
As in legality wise, they're all categorized in the same weak fish.
Okay.
So you have, you know, a weak fish category, and then you have a speckled trout category.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I mean, so. What's it, 100 pounds?
Yeah, 100 pounds.
On weak fish.
On weak fish.
Right, right.
Where
which includes
trout
all those species.
Is five with one, or six, one
nope,
being...
No, five.
Five. One
five,
over 19.
One over 19.
Right.
So a total of five.
Total of
one
five.
One over 19
per boat.
Per boat.
Per boat.
Yeah, per boat. Yeah,
per boat.
Per boat.
Yeah.
Per boat.
Yeah,
but hey, we got to find what the heck those little... What's the book name for them stupid little things? Because I call them gill raker trout. I mean, they got them sharp
I call
little
them
gills.
Tarpon bait.
Oh, that, no,
you know, and it's just so folks know what we're talking about. There's a little gold 5-inch fish that's only here really during the wintertime.
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
And for the most part, in deep holes.
In deep holes, yeah.
In creeks.
And
you go through 22 dozen.
I knew the name of them. Like, I looked it up years ago. I forgot. But they're bait stealers.
But don't they look like an offspring of a trout, though?
They do.
Yeah, and they look like a freshwater perch to
right,
me.
Right, yes. Exactly.
But they've got a big mouth on them, and they're like, brrr. I mean, when they hit, they're just...
Oh, it's...
But they're a great bait for bull reds and for tarpon.
Are they really?
Yeah, like up in Clapboard where we fish for tarpon back in there, if you can catch them off the bottom, use those for bait, they'll get hit every time. They'll get hit quicker than anything else.
Now, again, yellowmouth trout, and the weak fish for all the weak fishes, I mean, like if I'm targeting them, I'll save a handful of those right there, and boy, I'll tell you what, they can't resist that cut bait.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
They love that stuff.
Yeah.
They'll eat it up.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. We had actually caught a trout that was probably, I think it was like 6 pounds, that spit one of those things out.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And you could barely tell what it was
because
it was starting to decompose, but... I was like, wow, and big trout are, I guess they're going to eat whatever they can get, you know. They love the small croakers, so that would make sense, you know.
They love a croaker.
Yeah.
It's just funny. How do they chase that down? I mean, those two teeth just stick in them like a rattlesnake? I mean,
They just suck them right in.
You think? But I mean, a red or a
drum,
to me, it's got a vacuum.
If you ever watch trout in videos where they have them in the current, they sit in the current.
Mm-hmm.
So any bait fish that washes over a ledge or anything, there's...
Okay.
You know, because they're getting pushed into the current.
They got a big mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about a trout. It's like kind of like, you know, a lot of times people don't realize how big a mouth is on a 6-pound flounder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that joker.
When it opens up,
it stretches all
day. You can put a 6-inch mullet in his mouth.
Yeah.
And it'll never choke.
Yeah. And the one thing that I've always told people, you know, they're like, hey, man, what's the best tactic for big trout? I'm like, a big bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
don't fish shrimp. You know, you're looking
at a big
mullet.
Right.
You're looking maybe a horse mud minnow.
Oh,
you know,
God,
the
they
biggest
love
one
mud
you can
find.
Those
big mud minnows they love.
I mean, the biggest ones I've ever caught have been on mud minnows.
Mm-hmm. You know? No, agreed to that. 100% agree.
I like the one that real big Sabeel.
Yes. Yep.
They have one that's a suspender.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one particular color they don't make anymore, of course, that was just unbelievable. It was white and yellow, or white and black and orange. But you throw it, it's huge. It looks like a big pogie, and you just rip it through the water, you know, slamming the rod down and letting it dart back and forth, and you pause it, and all big trout. I mean, everything we caught on that lure was big.
Yeah, you don't get very many bites.
No.
But
it's going to be the right ones.
It's like fishing for, like, peacocks or something when you're throwing those big baits.
Yeah. Yep.
The fish that you can eat are big. And I tell you, we saw some trout this week that I was like,
really?
Buckle your knees. I got an area I need to take you sometime, and it's just...
Take the hooks off. I just want to see the blow-up. I don't want to catch them.
You want to
catch them. I truly don't want to hurt them.
There's one particular spot I fish in I never keep fish out of. I never keep them out of there. It's just a release place. I have a couple clients, and I took one of them, Dave, the other day, and he doesn't keep fish.
Mm-hmm.
He just loves to throw topwater and throw artificial, and every single time we go, he catches a monster of one species or another. Throwing big artificials, and he's got a new one called a rip stop that's been around. If you watch, what's the guy's name from up north that does the walleye and smallmouth? I can't remember his name, but he's a big stick bait user.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching
Kevin Van Dam.
No, he's an older guy from like Minnesota or something like that.
The guy that always carries the big jug around.
He's got like a white beard, and he fishes up there out of Lund boats. Anyway, if you watch him, and you can take those freshwater baits to saltwater, and he's like, I'm using this one for mid-call, and this one I'm pausing doing. So a lot of guys who are real successful in catching these big trout have gone to looking at these freshwater shows for walleye and using those and hammering them. Because it's a bait that gets down there and suspends or backs up.
Yeah, because walleye's a bottom feeder, too.
With big teeth.
Yeah.
It's always fun to throw something new, you know. Especially if you believe in it. You catch a couple of big ones, you're like, oh, I'm throwing this one, you know. But
hey, they're coming out with, I talked to our good friends down there at Fish Bites. I got us some cobia stuff coming.
Nice.
You got some cobia stuff coming? Cool.
Good. I'm going to use that for bull reds.
Big old paddle tail looking things.
Awesome.
Yeah, I went down and talked to him the other day. And
did you talk to Martin?
I talked to the gentleman who runs the...
Terry.
Brent. And I got a couple sheets I'm going to get some bull reds with. Because, I mean, I can take a crab, a whole crab, and put four baits out, and one of them have a fish bite strip on it. And the fish bites gets hit every time before the others do.
Right.
So now I'm trying to progress off of the crab and use the clam and the crab together and only use the fish bites. Because I couldn't get crab one day. And we only caught four bull reds because we ran out of baits. I couldn't. There weren't enough in the store. Those big strips, you'd fold them in half and use them. But, that product is, you know, I'm not sponsored by them.
I'm not sponsored by them.
It's just a product that I can't do without.
All them whiting, not last week, I guess, but the week before, I went on a whiting tear, and I'd say 98% of them, I was fishing four rods. One had shrimp on. The other three had fish bites on. That shrimp still stayed out there and finally just washed out.
Yeah. It's a crazy bait.
Oh,
I mean, you know, because when you – seriously, I mean, again, we're not sponsored by them, but we're just we
talk about something that works.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
Not like that, but we like those guys.
Yes.
They're great people, and it's a local company.
Yeah, it's a local company.
St. Augustine, okay? So, obviously, but I'm just telling you, the first time they came out with this, it was 98, 99,
yeah.
You know, somewhere around in there, and I'm going, hey. Ain't no way in
the
hell.
Shrimp was like square in the back.
No, there was nothing. It was just the little pieces.
The chunks,
just the pieces.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Start out surf fishing.
Yeah, I got a bag and just threw it in the boat, and I'll never forget. I was fishing with Tom Coughlin and his wife Judy, and I ran out of mullet, live mullet. For some reason, I was on a bite of fish, and so I had that bag, and I'm desperate, right? I got an hour to go, and I don't want to leave the fish to go, you know, throw the cast net. Because you know as well as I do.
Yeah.
You leave them, you go throw the cast net, come back, it's done.
Yeah.
So I just put on these strips of bait, you know. I'm like, there ain't no way. dude. It was every cast mm-hmm. with the damn things. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
There's something to this.
Oh, yeah. There's absolutely something.
Well, you think about anything we use as far as live bait. Like, I like to pop the heads off shrimp mm-hmm. because it leaves a scent trail, especially when our water's darker. Mm-hmm. So, and now that they've come out with curly tails that are that long, you know, 4.5 inches long or however long they are, to be able to use that with all that action and as tough as it is to be able to catch 15, 20 fish on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it comes back looking mangled.
7.5.
Yeah. So, ooh, yeah.
Just in production with them, right?
Wow,
now.
That's cool.
So, that's cool. It's good. I'm that's happy for them. They've done a great job.
You throw a whole lot more artificials than
Scott. I will never. I mean, yeah. I just
well,
throw
fish them. Bites is, it's like you're not throwing artificials.
Right.
You can throw it out on the bottom, put it in the rod hole, and turn around. It's been over, you know.
No, I get it.
And it used to, you know, Gulp can do that too, but the big difference in the products is you don't have the mess.
Yeah,
you know, they're not, and they're also.
God, can you imagine? I spilt a jug of that one time, or the lid came off in my.
I've absolutely
and just stained the living doggy.
Oh, well, it's also slick, and but what I, you know, like I said, and they're more pliable too, so they have more action than the Gulp. So, I'm sold on them.
Yep.
Well, that little trick, you know, with that you taught where you got to stretch them out and wing them around in circles. You know, spend a little, you know, a minute or two caressing your bait.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
And but they came out with some new jigs that have double barbs on them that work really good, so I don't have to do my little zip tie technique anymore.
Oh, good.
Yep.
And but even if it starts to slip, you know, that zip tie still works.
Right. Name the species that you've caught on fish bites.
I've caught reds, trout, flounder, black drum, all the trout species.
Right.
Whiting. I've caught pompano.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I caught a tarpon on it.
Sea bass?
Sea bass for sure.
Sea bass, it's snapper for sure.
Yeah.
Sea bass can't stand it.
I mean, I'm telling you, I am not going to spend the money on some nasty squid.
The other one?
I'm going to grab a bag of that and head offshore.
Triggerfish?
Oh,
yes.
God.
Dude, triggerfish, and it's, because I told Scott one day I was on a bite of triggerfish, and I don't catch for, you know, we don't go far enough, mm-hmm. but I had one little spot that I got on the day before, and I told Scott, I said, dude, I need some chicken rigs, and I said, I'm going to take, because they were triggerfish with a piece of squid, it's gone, done, you know, but I took a bag of fish bites out there, and I'm like, all right, and you know what was funny, we caught them, but they still could get that fish bites off of that hook.
Yeah, they start
they're
chewing
amazing,
it off.
Man.
Yeah, they are.
Amazing.
Another thing it works good for too, and they're starting to develop products for freshwater. But that curly tail with a shaky head jig, because you're jiggling it, you know, it hops and it has mm-hmm. that tail fluttering, bass love them too. I gave some curly tails to a friend of mine's son, and he, of course, he comes home and hits the pond out back.
Yep.
But he's caught brim on them, you know, and I'll take them. And even if the bite's slow and I'm using live shrimp and I'm not getting the bites, I'll put a small piece of fish bite on, then put the shrimp on, and it gives me more scent and increases my bites. So it's just a little trailer that's on the hook but not blocking anything, and then put the shrimp on. Because sometimes our water, with all the rain, we get deep, dark water. They can't see anything.
Right.
And a shrimp, if they can't smell it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's anything to help our charters catch more fish, I'm in for.
And makes it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. 641-1010, 641-1010. You listen to the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast with Captain Scott Shank, Captain Chip Wingo. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. We'll take a quick break. If you want to give us a call, 641-1010. We'll be right back.
Red, Nick.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Kind of a fun night having Chip with us tonight. Instead of just, he can be chiming in the whole time and taking care of us.
It was funny, Chip, I was sitting here reading this ad, because this is the ad that I did for Tire Outlet,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I my truck basically has street tires.
Uh-huh, so does mine.
You know.
Yeah, that was embarrassing the other day.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. What happened?
Dude, we have had so much rain up at our place. And Chip hunts with me in Georgia.
Right.
We're redoing a little place that's on my property for him and his brother and his friend. Anyway, We basically both have the same truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Please don't tell me.
And
we're talking on flat grass.
Flat, literally. He had to go get a tool or something.
Yeah.
And I had the tractor. Because I had to use the tractor to put stuff in the dumpster.
Yeah.
And Carrie comes, gets me, and she goes, "Chip's stuck." I'm like, "Dude." And I look, and he's in the driveway.
I'm in the driveway.
He's literally in the driveway. And I'm like,
"Can't move.
Dude."
I put it in gear, the tire just spins, no matter how
much.
It's
just like being on ice.
Oh, yeah, it was like being on ice.
When I tell you that his tire was an inch below the grass, that's all it was.
And he just got, you got that swamp.
It filled up the
it can't
go
up the tread.
Yeah, it fills up the tread. Yep. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards.
Nope.
You got two wheel drive.
Nope.
You know.
No, I mean seriously. I mean,
spinning.
No, I know. I'm just with that being said, like summertime or we're gonna start seeing it. Like on the ramps start getting that algae build or whatever. I'm not telling you on a couple of low tide days, I'd have locked that joker four wheel drive because
I have all terrain tire on my truck too. It's an all-terrain tire
right. That
has a more aggressive tread. There's nothing aggressive about that tread.
They're fixing to get a phone call. I need 31s.
So,
yeah, seriously.
I need 31, so, 75, 18s.
I was just sitting there. We'll give Mr. David Barron, the tire outlet, a call. Because I think
tires.
I got almost 50,000 on my tires right now. But I love the fuel mileage that you get with the tires. You know, and I do put a lot of miles on my truck driving back and forth to our place in Georgia. But you have to have something a little more aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even pulling your boat, just like you said.
No, I'm just telling you, the negative tides we had last week, there was a couple days coming out of the boat ramp that I was flat, woo, woo, woo. I was smoking them coming up the ramp, you know?
Well, I run a 10-ply tire, which is a harder tire, and the only reason I do that is because I'm towing a boat, and they're putting a load on the rear of the truck. But you get, I think I get better gas mileage, and they're pumped to 56 pounds of pressure.
Okay, because we're running 40s, 45s.
And you can pump them up over 60. But on the highway for rain, you know, rolling down the interstate in rain and everything else and towing, they work great. And they last a long time because they're a harder compound. But you pull off the road.
Yeah.
I was so embarrassed.
Break that grass? You break that grass? You're done.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean. Literally, dude, he wasn't an inch.
Why didn't you take pictures? Pictures are so much better whenever you can joke
You know
about
what?
It.
Here's the deal. You wouldn't have believed that he was stuck.
Yeah, you're looking at the truck, you wouldn't believe I was stuck.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
What's your first thought? Oh, God, I just ruined the transmission?
No,
oh.
I knew I was sliding.
You knew
I could feel it.
Okay. Yeah.
I could feel it.
Okay.
But I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, I'm too old. I don't want to hear that whoop, 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 whoop when I'm going down the road.
Right, right.
You know,
turn your music
like your old
up.
Truck you had, yep, like the yep, old truck you yep. had, that thing was just aggravating.
Turn your music up.
And, keep going. And but anyhow, no, I just want, I'm not a wide tire guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a thin tire guy. I just want to get I just want to get aggressive, not real aggressive, just, you know.
But I think
but like you said, to sling that stuff out.
That's a great tip for anyone who, obviously, a lot of people who listen to this show have trucks.
Right.
You know, whether it's, you know, trying to get down a muddy clay road or pulling your boat out, something that's a little, not crazy aggressive, but a little more aggressive than a
little more all-terrain,
tire. Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, guys, I mean, here we're off on a tangent, but I mean, look at even what the females drive. Huh?
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's let's go talk to Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what are y'all up to?
There he is.
There he is.
What's going on?
Not much. I was wondering, did you ever get a chance to look at that text I sent you about the spraying down in Kissimmee?
I did. When we talked about this, it was whatever 10 days ago. So,
yeah.
My brain cells only work up for about 12 hours.
Really, you get 12 hours.
I get 12 hours
out of
it. Yeah, it's kind of. It's not a Duracell by any means.
Right,
but I mean,
right.
The monkey walks for a little while. But anyhow, But anyhow, we...
wait a minute. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Matt, so what did you send? What's in Kissimmee?
Yeah, so he's going to start.
I just gave him an example of how the FWC is totally destroying all of our lakes with the overspraying of chemicals. And I sent Scotty a text or a YouTube.
Yep.
And it showed and explained the different chemicals they're using and everything. And why, like George, they blame everything on the weather and stuff. But I can tell you, Willow Cove a year ago was coming back with grass. And I went in there and fished it about probably a month later after I saw the grass. And they had nuked everything in Lake George. And you saw when the elites came here, they struggled.
Right.
Oh, yeah, there was no doubt. Well, weather had a little issue on that, too.
Weather did, but there was no grass to break up. If the fish pull off, they pull off to the eelgrass, and you could fish the eelgrass and stuff, but there's no eelgrass in there. Yep. And some of it is due to the hurricanes, but they're going in there bombarding with 2,4-D, and some other chemicals, and that's why I sent you that, so you could see what they're doing. Because what they did is they got pictures, they got drones, and they went over the airboats in Kissimmee showing what they're doing, and they're trying to get a lawsuit against the state of Florida, but it's hard to sue the state of Florida.
Yeah, that's true. All right, buddy, we appreciate it. You have a great evening.
Thanks, Matt.
Yep.
Talk to you soon.
10-4. You know, and speaking of the lakes, this is the time of year, man.
Uh-huh. If you want to catch a gollywhopper.
Yeah, if you want to catch a gollywhopper.
I know where there's a gollywhopper pond at.
I need to. You know. The other day I forgot I left two of my best two rods sitting in his locked up place over there.
Oh, yeah.
you're never going to see those again.
No, not when he's not there, I won't.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
did you fish at all? I did.
We got there.
Shiners?
We got there on Monday evening, afternoon, and went out, grabbed one of Chip's rods. I did, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, so I've got Chip's rod, then I got my little
Shiner
buster, right? And I mean, man, within 10 minutes I caught me about a 6-inch shiner.
Really?
Sweet. Hooked it on there and I threw it out, and I wanted a backup shiner, you know, so I caught another one, put it in a 5-gallon bucket, and I worked that shiner, and me and Fancy sat there and worked that shiner, and eventually got tired, and I put it out for a fresh one, and I had I had probably 15 minutes of daylight, and I'm like, all right, here we go, I got a fresh one, you know. Never had a sniff.
Really?
Never.
He had two bites when we were there with his.
Now, are you hooking them at the dorsal? Or you hooking them in the? You want them to stay
between,
on top?
Between the dorsal and the tail.
Okay,
If you go too far forward, they have a tendency just to kind of flop, you know.
Yeah.
And the one thing about them is that whenever you get them like that, you can't just throw them out and let them sit.
You kind of want them like a pogey. You want to let it, I mean, he should rip that line when he takes off.
You want
it
moving.
Right?
Because every time they'll come up to the surface up there.
And just do that little
flutter
move.
It's so cool to watch when they get up on the surface pulling away.
Absolutely.
The bucket mouth takes
them. What are we using? 5-6-aught kales? Or what are we fishing them with?
6-aught kales?
Yeah. That's what I'm throwing is a big kale.
Yep. So I had my little buddy.
Oh, look at the fancy.
Yeah, she's.
She's awesome.
She's literally watching the cork. She sits there, and when it gets excited, she starts running up and down the dock.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't have to watch the shiner. She watches the shiner.
I pulled the stove out up there, and I've never seen Carrie jump, but she jumped. This rat came out of the old stove.
We're cleaning out an old
house.
Yeah, old house. We're cleaning out. And that dog was amazing. Gone.
Nuh-uh.
Off with it. She grabbed that thing so fast.
She grabbed it to hold it off?
Oh, she...
Oh, it was dead within...
Second.
Really?
Oh, dude, she does not like a rat.
I was like, can I just keep her over here the whole time I'm working on the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I tell you what, we hunted with her, too, and that dog, she's amazing.
Yep,
she will not stop.
She doesn't stop.
How's the quail population?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Can we shoot at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's beautiful. They're beautiful birds, too.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
We had a quail fry with
them. We need to do a brim fry. There's a ton of brim. Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you guys looking forward to in the next couple weeks as far as you're going to get your sea bass showing up offshore?
They're there right now.
That's a great question. We haven't had any weather to do anything in bay boats except for inshore fish.
Monday was absolutely gorgeous, though, out there.
For a little while.
Did they catch that wahoo off a bay boat?
Yes, they did.
My goodness. 24-foot Pathfinder, 92 pounds.
That thing is a beast.
Were they in the shootout?
Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
That was pretty awesome.
It was out of a new 25 Pathfinder.
Good for them.
I'll stick it on. I'll stick to the bigger boats.
Yeah, but they said it was so far.
But your question being, I always jump the gun this time of year.
Do you?
Always. And obviously, the older you get, the more you're like, you know what? Calm down.
That's backwards because Mr. Travis ain't stopped calling me. He's so eager to go. He is so fired up. And I said, Trav, I'm not going out there by myself, Trav.
No, just chill. But yes, I would love to. This February is in March. It's sea bass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
right. We did that last year.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I'm in. We'll get Mr. Trav, you, Leon, whatever.
I have so much fun being the guy that can sit there and fish.
I have so much fun sitting at the wheel. And Mr. Travis
is awesome.
Yo, yeah.
He's excitable. He was a lot of fun. That's the guy we fished with, right?
Yeah. And the cool thing about Travis is that he's on his own. Mm-hmm. You don't have to babysit.
You don't do nothing.
Yeah. Every now and then you got to cut him a piece of squid or whatever, you know. But besides that. He sits on that back seat, and he's fishing. Yeah. But, you know, and then the one thing that I haven't heard anything about this February at all is, triple tail.
Triple tails?
I don't know whether somebody's keeping it really quiet or they just haven't been able to fish for them. But I haven't heard of anything.
Did you see the one Minyard caught? In the intercoastal?
No.
I think it was like 8 or 9 pounds or bigger than that. Yeah. Leon showed me a picture of it.
I talked to the boys, and earlier, and this was January, they put out traps out there for a little while.
Ooh.
And then they pulled them.
Because it got so nasty.
Yeah. And I don't know.
Yeah, they lose a lot of traps.
The intercoastal right now, you were out last week or Sunday or whatever. I mean, dude, they're laying one on top of one another all along Cascola. I mean, there's
traps.
It's a danger zone. If you cut the bank on that thing, I can probably.
Well, if you follow Scott Lund on Facebook, you'll know when the triple tailer at Canaveral.
Oh, really?
Because he calls them buoy bass,
mm-hmm.
and he catches the monsters. But
they
that's
got
usually
that, all
good...
them channel markers to fish out of that inlet.
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, in the intercoastal, Leon and I a lot of times. Cruising with our clients, we start looking at the crab traps buoys
because
we find them on them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a little early for us, but Minyard caught
one.
Dude,
I don't know about that.
Creek.
I had water temperature, like you said, bouncing between 70 and 73 all day, just depending on where I went.
And I agree with you, mm-hmm. okay? But I'm just telling you that the guys that fish for them here,
it's
February.
Yeah, but you won't hear about it till March.
No.
But you go right after a blow. When was it that we went out and there was them big old grass mats everywhere and freaking triple tail underneath every
That was other. April, though.
Was that what it was?
Yeah. But do you remember the day that we took my boat and ran down to Mayport?
Yeah.
That was February. It caught all those triple tail.
And caught all them triple tail up there. Yeah.
Yep. I agree. They're smart about it, too. They go out and they catch them. And then they just...
They're tight-lipped, boy.
Tight-lipped, and then all
it's
of a sudden...
It's worse than Cobia when the first manta ray shows up on the beach.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, the triple tail here. And they're like, they've been here for a month, you know.
Man, it's hard for me to find a legal one. They're all like only 2.5-3 pounds. Yeah, because they've caught all the 10-pounders. Yeah,
and they went up on regulations, too. They're, what, 15 inches?
15 inches now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, golly, they got to be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I don't want to keep a triple tail unless it's a beast. You know, I say a beast, at least... 6-7 pounds.
No.
You know.
You're going to lose that fight with me.
So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but.
A
triple tail. I mean, I'm telling you. I've eaten it all, but I don't get to eat triple tail that much.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that's just like telling me I can't keep a snook.
Yeah,
you
I
know,
got
right
it.
Here.
Yeah.
Well, you forget that.
We caught that one in the Builders Tournament last year. And we're up at the weigh-in. And I have it in the live well.
The triple tail?
Yeah, big one. We caught one that was almost 9 pounds.
Woo.
at a spot you and I fish. Mm-hmm. And so we're at the weigh-in, and, you know, they weigh their fish in, and we're letting them go. And I go, what about the triple tail? He goes, well, go ahead and let it go. So I pick it up out of the live well, and all these people are standing on the dock looking at it going, oh, yeah. And I went, bloop, and put it in the water, and it swam off. They're like, no. And the guy said it was his call. It was his fish.
Right.
He said, I want to let it go. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a fight. Mm-mm. On light tackle. Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was more excited than the big red we just caught.
So. Yeah.
All right, let's take our last break here on the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Give us a call, 641-1010. We'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Chip Wingo, thank you for sitting in with Captain Scott.
It was my pleasure. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. To the plush studios.
I came down for briskies.
You came down for briskies.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew that. That's why I know that's how this was working out.
Yeah, yeah. Forecast does not look good. Speaking of fishing forecast, that's going to... honestly, it's going to blow north-northeast all the way through Sunday and then turn south at some...
God-awful speed.
God-awful speed, exactly. Yeah, so...
if you can get out in the morning early.
Yeah, you might get... You're going to get tomorrow morning in, but I'm just saying, By noon, 1 o'clock, it's going to be up and cranking.
But the high tide bite has been good.
No. Yeah, I have no problem with it. It's just hard for... It's fine for you. I got four guys. There's no way, even with a 10 or 15 knot wind, I could throw four poppy corks.
If you had a 40-foot boat, it might be a little easier.
You can't do it. I mean, you can't.
And people don't understand. You know, they want to go up there, and the two guys on the bow are throwing poppy corks. No. This ain't how this works. Mm-hmm. You got one poppy cork on the front, one poppy cork on the bow, two jig heads in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's how I fish.
Especially with current.
With current. Because back guy, you know, he could let line out and get a, you know, let it carry... Cover some
it is amazing how a fourth person it doesn't
inhibit your day.
It doesn't totally inhibit your day, but I mean, it's just you have to think about things different, you know. And I know people are like, what, you know, but with three people, think about it. You got the bow, you got the middle
ship,
and you got the stern.
Yep.
All right, you got three
covered
guys. Yep.
That's why with mine it's two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
two
with
guys.
You.
Three,
yeah.
I can do it, but two guys is. And then when I get one guy, it's like,
We get two, and it's
two's a beautiful thing. Now, the biggest advantage we have now is that we don't have to get on the bow.
Yeah.
We have the remote control. Mm-hmm. Because the old days, if you had four people and you got two guys on the bow with you at.
That's why my knees hurt, my back hurts, and I'm fat. Because I used to have to
sit there with a bait bucket and sit on the polling platform and just watch them. And they sling the rod back, I'll hook a bait, and they can cast.
That's it.
I love that thing.
I just tell everybody, because I stay under my T-top.
I do too.
I don't move.
I tell everybody,
I just need to see the pointy end. Mm-hmm. Don't walk back here to me. I'm not
just
walking up
back,
to you.
Yeah.
And like I said, just with that being said, it's like, hey, I'm coming behind everybody. I'm getting some more bait. I want to let everybody know, because I don't need no hook in the side of the head while I go up to get more bait. Nothing more infuriates me than to get hooked.
Real quick, I know the El Cheapo's coming up March 7th. We will be there.
Yep.
Yeah, we will be there at Consignment Boat Sales. And also to let folks know that February 22nd is the last day to get in discount.
Early registration.
Thank you.
And tell them next week we are on Thursday, right?
The first Thursday in March.
Okay, sorry.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
One more time like this.
Yep.
Two more times like
this.
Good.
So make sure you join us for the Nimnik Outdoor Show Saturday morning from 7 to 10 for Captain Chip Wingo, Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Favor. You've been listening to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010XL. Y'all have a great weekend.
See ya.
See ya.
More than the sun, you take my hand in yours, you lean in and your lips taste like sangria, your lips taste like sangria.